I do want to draw your attention to our theme verse, Psalm 33:8. Notice, again, we quoted it this morning. The prayer is, and the song, if you will, is, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Now, the question we must ask ourselves tonight is that, how are they going to stand in awe of Him, or at least in the context of His salvation, unless they hear about it? Unless they receive it. And I believe that it is God's plan for all the earth to fear His holy name. And part of that plan is getting them the message of Jesus Christ, so that they can know the Messiah, so they can know the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. Messiah, Savior, who loves them and died for them and rose again the third day to give them eternal life and that forgive them of their sins, past, present, and future. I just read of an article recently. There are all types of religions and beliefs across this world. And, you know, time does not permit, neither all the books in the world, to write all the different beliefs. And just a lot of these religions, and all of them apart from Christianity, are sad, heartbreaking. I just read of one recently that, and one tribe, and I cannot remember the exact country that it was speaking of, but it was a primitive tribe in Africa, and one of the beliefs that they had, that when there was a person that died around the time of a birth, they believed in their religion that it was the baby's fault. And so in order for the baby to survive, they taught that the mother had to commit public suicide to appease the devils, to appease the demons. And she would go up to a tall tree. She would get up to the top and jump to her death publicly. And that's how a lot of these people find peace, in some of the most strange and bizarre ways, thinking that they're appeasing different gods and whatnot. But listen, what every person needs is Jesus and Him alone. And we have Him tonight. We know Him. We love Him. We understand His plan. He's revealed it to us through His Word. And we have Genesis to Revelation. And so tonight, as we think about our missions conference coming up, we got to get ready. We need to be praying what God would have us do in the coming year so that they can hear about Him. You know, notice what it says down there further in the text, as God wants all the inhabitants, and that's every single human being. He wants all of them to stand in awe of Him and the salvation that He's given. And notice verse 14. "From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." Every single country, every single island, every single village, every single city, every single living room, every single home, every single place on this earth, our God is observing it. And He's longing to reach every one of them with the gospel. So you have the inhabitants of all the world, and then what you have is local churches that God is wanting to mobilize to go and reach them. And so that's where we come in. Lord, what would You have us do? We pray and we support and we send. We send missionaries. We go ourselves locally as we reach out in our community. And so tonight I want us to think of several ways that God is going to use us in the coming year so that all the world can stand in awe of Him. Let me direct your attention for a moment to the book of Acts. Would you go there with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 9. The inhabitants of the world, no matter where they are, there is one undeniable truth that God has set forth in His Word. They cannot be saved until and unless there is a messenger. There must be a messenger. And here we see that right before us in this text, lived out through Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Notice with me as we look here, and I said Acts chapter 9, I meant chapter 8. We see in chapter 8 here, beginning in verse 26, a great revival was taking place among the Samaritans. Philip was preaching. He was an evangelist. And notice what happens. There's a change of direction that was put upon Philip by the Lord. He said in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went." He obeyed the Lord. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians." He was a man of great prestige and of a great position. And he was, the Bible says, who had the charge of all her treasure. He was a responsible individual. He was a dependable man. And notice what it says, "and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Esaias the prophet," which is Isaiah. And it says here in verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip." Now, Philip is the messenger. And remember, they cannot hear the gospel. They cannot be saved unless there is a messenger. "The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him." I love the way the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, says he ran. He was excited about reaching this man. "And heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me?" If you make it a habit of underlining your Bible, would you underline that phrase, "some man," or "except some man"? My friends, there are multitudes tonight. Millions. Even billions. Now over 8 billion. Souls inhabiting this earth, this globe that we live on, that need and must have some man or woman or boy or girl to give unto them Jesus. So how do we do it, church? How is this task possible? It seems impossible. But we have to go back to believe in who God is and what He said. Would God give us anything to do that is impossible? No, He would not. God does not give any commandment, any task to His children that He is not planning on equipping us to go and to fulfill. So with tonight, nearly half the world that is without some clear gospel preaching and teaching, as you consider areas of the Middle East in the 1040 window, as you consider India and China, as you consider even areas in our own nation, all over this world that need the gospel, we have to ask a question tonight. Is it God's fault? Of course, we should all answer that, of course not. It's not God's fault. But that we need to ask ourselves tonight, so what is the problem? Why is it that more people aren't going? Why is it that more people aren't being reached? Well, you will trace it then back to the messenger. The laborers are few, our Savior said, did He not? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. And my friends, I believe that there is a dearth in messengers going forth from the call of the Holy Spirit locally and nationally and internationally. And I'm hoping and praying that as we stand in all of our God's great plan, the Great Commission, I'm praying it will just reignite and mobilize us like never before. I'm praying that our church would be more excited about missions than it ever has before. This world needs a messenger who can give them the message of the cross, the message of redemption, the message of the resurrection, the message that there is a heaven and there is eternity, a message that they can be saved, a message that we can give. And nothing's holding us back from going forward in God's power and doing that. The Lord has blessed us over this past year. And I want to mention a few of those things as we rejoice in the Lord. But we notice that it says, how can I except some man should guide me? And He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now we realize tonight, not everybody on this globe, all the inhabitants, are inviting Jesus followers to show them more about the Bible. We realize that. But I will say this boldly and confidently. I don't believe there's a place on the face of this earth, Brother Dan, where there is not at least one who would be willing to invite you in to show them the Word of God. Not one place where somebody is responding to the general revelation that God has given through His creation. At least one. Most of the times more than that. Some places more than others. But folks, we got to realize, as I mentioned, every place where there is humans populating the area, there are people there who are going to believe, but they cannot believe unless they have a messenger come that has the message. And that's where we find ourselves saying, all right, Lord, here we are. We're not much, but God take us and use us. Crooked Creek Baptist Church in Athens, Georgia. God, here we are. And God, by Your grace, we're going to give more this year as we begin praying. I'm excited about the missionaries God has sent us this way. They're sending us this way. Have you ever heard of Mozambique? We had a missionary going there. We have a missionary going to New Zealand that will be coming. We have a missionary with the Rock of Ages prison ministry who is currently going into public schools and reaching them with the gospel. It's amazing to see how the Lord is calling laborers. And we have the joy of partnering together with them. But as we continue reading down this passage, He is going to show him the Lord. And notice when He comes to the point of leading him to Christ in verse 34, he says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? So there's a lot of religions out there that they believe that there's some way out there, but they just don't know who it is. And this is what Philip did. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And I love this. Again, you ought to underline this in your Bible, because this is what the Great Commission is all about. And preached unto him Jesus. That is the goal. Listen, what good is a powerful gospel to those who never hear it? Can you ever remember, friend, being somewhere where you had no opportunity to go to a church? I can't remember personally ever being anywhere in my life. There may be somebody here that can give that testimony, but that you remember a time where you could not find a church or did not know of a church. I don't know. I've never been in a place where I didn't know where I could find a Bible. I personally have never been. Maybe you have. I can't say that I know how that feels. But I know tonight, church, that there are multitudes out there in that very context. They wouldn't know where to go. They don't have a Bible. But do you know that there is a God in heaven that loves them? And the Bible says that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And the Lord desires to save them. And do you know that God uses churches like us to help those same people find a messenger? Sending people like you. We can't get away from that truth. It's been the plan through the ages. It still works. It still works. Read your prayer letters if you don't believe that. It works. I think of our brother who's reaching Iran and other areas of the Middle East. I think of our friends over in Europe and Africa and in Asia and Taiwan. Oh, the great work we're hearing there. It is phenomenal. When I think of what the Lord is doing, people that have not really heard a clear presentation of the gospel are now getting it. I think of our dear friends in Mexico City and Toluca, the Anderson family. I mean, just scores of people who are being taught a false gospel. But there's a messenger there. And just about 4 days ago, another testimony of a man coming to Christ. And we're continuing to hear reports like that. That's because a messenger went in and is faithfully proclaiming the truth that Jesus saves. You know, if we do not go to them, they cannot come to Him. Brother Stennett Ballou said that, and it stuck with me. If we do not go to them, they cannot come to Him. And so we take that challenge, we take that truth, and we let it move us to action. We let it move us to compassion. If we do not tell, they will go to hell. And I don't believe we hear that enough in churches anymore. But it needs to shake us. It needs to affect us. It needs to get to our core, does it not? That there is a real and literal burning hell going on right now, and there will be one for eternity called the lake of fire that people are going if they do not get the gospel in time and believe the gospel. And so, therefore, we take that very seriously. Jesus preached on hell. He preached on compassion. He preached on reaching them and caring for them. And I'm asking the Lord to burden me with this truth more than I ever have experienced in my life. I hope that we will all feel that way. Remember this morning when I talked about being quiet when we're listening to the Lord in our devotional time. Can I encourage you to practice this when you go into your quiet time? Just take some moments to be quiet and say, Lord, help me to hear their cry. Help me to hear their cry. I wonder what it would do to us if we could literally hear their cry. I think it would do a lot. Don't you? And so what we do by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, the truth that they are there. And they are crying out to send someone to their family. to send someone to their village, to send someone to their street. And by God's grace, you know what we're going to do? As Crooked Creek Baptist Church, upon the command of Christ, we're going to go. We're going to support. We're going to increase in our faith and say, God, I want to increase my support this year because I believe there are more that are searching, more that are waiting, and messengers that will go. Missionaries that are ready. They got their training. They're coming into our local church saying, hey, I'll go. God's called me to Mozambique. God's called me to New Zealand. God's called me to China. God's called me to Burkina Faso. God's called me to the Gambia. God's called me to Newfoundland. God's called me. And though they come in and they're messengers, and our church delightly gets to say, praise God, we want to partner with you. That's missions. And that's what the Lord's going to do in and through us as we yield to Him. I'd like to share a few things to you, with you that have encouraged my heart over the past year. The Lord has increased our giving, and I want to just give you a quick update on some of those things. I have my card, and now I don't have my card. Who's got my card? Timothy, do you have my card? No, my card's right here. If it was a snake, it would have bit me. I want to just give you a quick report here of what the Lord has allowed us to do over the 2020-2021 missions giving year, because for those of that are new to our church, to help you understand it, our missions giving starts in October, restarts in October every year, because we have our missions conference the first week of October. We have our faith promise the second Sunday of October, and that's when we give forth our new commitments. And then from that point up until two Sundays from now, we give our commitment through that time. So over the past year, by the Lord's grace and through faith, we've been able to take on six new missionaries. That was the Jobway family to Germany. We thank the Lord for Patrick and Christelle, who waited very patiently for a good long time to get back in Germany. And thank the Lord, they're on the ground. They both speak fluently in German. They speak French. And God is going to use this family, I do believe, to find some other spiritually speaking Ethiopian eunuchs who are searching. They're going to be able to show them the gospel. I think of also the mariners to Suriname. They are preparing and getting close to landing on the field. We were able to take them on this year. Also, I think of the Smiths going to China. They are Andy and Lily Smith. They're waiting to get back in. It's closed right now, but he's able to minister to them through the internet, through Zoom, and other avenues that the Lord has given us. I think of Becca Joseph in Honduras. Going and working to be in the medical hospital there in the medical field. She's a nurse, and she's going to go there and help lead people that come in for treatment, going to help them lead them to Christ. She's going to serve in the local church there. Also think of Jackie and Brittany Elwart going to Big Bear, California. They're on deputation and going to go plant a church there and see God work. And then tonight we'll be voting, after the message tonight, we'll be voting on the Akuoko family. That is Daniel and Raquel going to Ghana, West Africa. And so thankful how God used them the other night in our church. And tonight we'll be voting to take them on. And that will give us six new missionaries that we would add to our family this year. And not only that, but we were also able to increase the monthly support to 11 of our existing missionaries. That was tremendous, and something we want to do each year is to increase their support. It helps them. Sometimes they lose support because of churches, financial strains, or whatever the case may be. Different things come up and they lose that. The field gets more expensive. There's always big projects on the mission field, whether it's starting churches, whether it's a camp, a project need, maybe it's a special outreach. And that extra support truly helps these messengers, these boots on the ground, to do their work. And so, again, I think that is just really a practice we should try to keep every year, to give an increase. But just to mention those 11, I'm just going to go through these quickly. But Mike and Sharon Keller, reaching Mormons in Utah. Connie Anderson, working in Haiti with an orphanage. And you talk about being through the storms recently. Miss Connie, I haven't heard from her in a little bit, but we know that she's doing a faithful work there. I think of they've been through an earthquake, a terrible earthquake, a hurricane, and the assassination of their president just in the past 6 months. And it's already a third world country in the poverty level, but she's there serving faithfully, pointing boys and girls to Jesus Christ. Amen. Souls that are being led to the Lord. I think of David and Elizabeth Wilt in New York City. We gave all these $50 increases. Stanley and Melinda Ewing in Indonesia. Jerry and Barbara Alford. Bob and Linda Josie. Bruce and Lynn Berry. James and Kathy Hansard. Jim and Hope Smith. Dan and Jennifer Olashay. And Doug and Barbara Threlfall. And I did not give you the places, but I'm going to do that. Stanley and Melinda Ewing are in Indonesia. The Alfords are in Venezuela. Josies are reaching the Jews in America. Then we have the Berries. We're working in Brazil, but now all of South America as a director. The Hansards are there helping with church planting down in Florida. The Smiths are South Africa. Olashays are helping with translation works in Asia right now. And the Threlfalls are there in South Korea. And so each of these, we were able to increase their support. So along with that total, counting the amount of the new missionaries, which we take them on for $125 a month to start off with. And then we eventually begin raising it. I would eventually like to start them off at 150 once we get others up to that. With that, with the new missionaries, if we were to include the Akuakos, be six missionaries, that's a $9,000 increase for new missionaries for the year, and that our church has been able to give. And then if you count the veterans, the missionaries who we're currently supporting already, that would be about a $7,200 increase for the year. And that's pretty much comes out to be with the existing missionaries and the new missionaries. The Lord gave us a $1,000, $350 increase a month compared to what we were given last year, give or take a little bit. Because as I'll mention in the business meeting, sometimes there's a missionary that has to come off the field for a particular reason or change of field, and they have to be reevaluated on depending on what their context is. And so we were also able to give $2,000 towards the missions trip to Mexico. And so how grateful we are for how the Lord used that. And by the way, through that trip, us coming back and giving that testimony that night, we had a young person surrender, felt like God's calling them to Mexico. And I look forward to that young person giving their testimony at the appropriate time. And I believe that'll be a real encouragement to you. But that's what it's all about, church. And we'll see more and more of that. So total, again, we were able to increase our support by about $18,000 over the past year. And I see that trend continuing. And thank the Lord for it. Then we also had a special gift toward the end of the year. And that was $20,000 that was designated to help with special projects. And so we were able to do that. and give it to about five different missionaries that we support for projects that they have going on. So total, we were able to give a over and beyond our normal support from the years before about another $40,000 over this past year. So praise God to His faithfulness. You know that is souls being saved. Amen. That's to God be the glory. And so I do believe that with us wanting to continue forth, I'm praying that we would continue that trend. But if we're going to continue that trend of taking on around 6 to 8 missionaries a year and increasing support, we're looking at probably another $9,000 to $10,000 increase for the year. And that would probably be about $300 a month. That'd probably be another $500 increase a month for us to be able to do that and get where we're going. But anyway, we do just trust God in these numbers. But I just wanted to give you an update on kind of where we are right now. And with the missionaries coming in, we'll be reconsidering them as they present their ministry. It is so important that you begin praying now what the Lord would have you give. So how does that happen? Well, the way we do it, and I've explained this before, that you can go the way you want to on this, but this is what I would suggest. As a married couple, you begin praying together on what the Lord would have you give in the coming year. I believe that we should give by faith, and so I do believe that should include an increase. Now, you say, what if something happens outside of my control? What if I lose a job and I'm not able to keep my commitment? What if there's a family that moves out of the church? Which that happens, okay? Those things are happening. Those are out of your control. That's in God's hands. God will take care of that. You just believe what you know now. And you trust God to what He will give through you. And I believe He will do it. And so you begin praying now. What the Lord would have you. And the way Joanna and I will oftentimes do it, where we do it, have done it every time, is that we begin praying separately, and then we'll come together right before the time of our faith promise commitment, and we'll ask, okay, what did the Lord lay on your heart? And then the other one will give their number, what the Lord lay on your heart for the increase, and then we take that middle number. And that's the way we've done it. Could we change that possibly if we ever felt led to? Of course. But that's how we typically do it. We find that middle ground where we believe the Lord is leading us, and it has all worked out, and God has always provided. And so we are looking to increase again this year, and I hope you will too. I hope you'll encourage your young people to consider it. It's very important that they understand that it makes a difference. Just like the little lad's lunch, it made a big difference, didn't it? And we believe that young people can get involved, and then they will understand the burden even more as they grow older. Especially expect you teenagers to get involved and let God use you. You say, Pastor, I can't even buy myself a drink, and I don't even have that much money. You know, I'm dependent on my parents. Well, look, that's where you can just really depend upon the Lord in faith and say, Lord, I don't have any income right now. But God, if I could give this amount for Your glory each month to the missions program, Lord, I will give it. And that's the prayer you would make. I want to give this by faith. This is what You laid upon my heart. And that number's between you and the Lord. And so those are just some simple ways that you can pray about your faith promise giving. One of the other things I wanted to mention is, you may ask, have we been able to meet our goal for the year? Well, yes and no. All right. There's a lot of factors you have to consider. All right. When it comes to faith promise missions, number one, our giving year is not over. All right. So we still have several Sundays we have today that hadn't been counted. And then we'll have next Sunday and the first Sunday of October that will be considered and counted towards this year's commitment. Right now, we're at about 80-85% of meeting what we committed on the cards. Now, sometimes that can be a little hard to detect because several factors. Sometimes there is somebody that maybe loses a job, or it's just there's something out of their control that they weren't able to fulfill it, and that happens. And sometimes there's a family that moves away or transitions in some other way out of the church. and that commitment is not going to be filled. We understand those things. That's just a part of life, okay? There's also times, honestly, we try to avoid this, and that's why we belabor or, you know, just try to emphasize the importance of being accurate on the card. Because, you know, you may put an amount on there that you plan on giving monthly, but by mistake, and we, human error, it happens, you may accidentally put weekly. And so that would make it higher than you intended for it to be. But what we don't want happen is that commitments that we make by heart, in our heart, between us and the Lord, because we don't put our names on the cards. But what we don't want happening is people making a commitment before the Lord and then just neglecting to do it. It's not that they could not give, but they just lose sight of the commitment and the vow before the Lord, the commitment before the Lord Jesus, and fulfilling that. We don't want that to happen for any of us. We just want to do our best. If something comes up out of our control, God knows that. And so, again, it's the spirit of it. In that way, we will put the cards out the week of the conference so that you can take one and begin praying over it as an individual, as a couple. But here's what we're going to do again this year. We're really trying to emphasize making our Faith Promise Sunday the day that we all give our cards at the same time. All right. So that is going to happen on the second Sunday of October. Let's plan on being here. Let's be praying for that day. It's a wonderful, beautiful service. It's almost us like bringing our offerings before the Lord for world evangelism. Saying, Lord, by your grace and through faith, this is what we're going to commit to give for your glory and so that all the world can stand in awe of you. The reason I tell you to wait till the end, you do it because God's going to speak to our hearts through the preacher, Brother Stedman. The messages, the missionaries will speak to us, and we want to be praying through that. Not that it's going to be an emotional decision, but that we do want the Spirit of God to speak to us through the messages that are being preached, and then give our commitment. So I believe we're right on track. I believe we're going to finish very strong. And again, I'm praying that the Lord would give us another $9,000 to $10,000 increase. For the coming year. So if the Lord does indeed help us to reach, you know, let's just say 105,000, okay, I'd love to see that increase for the glory of God so that we can take on more missionaries. But I just wanted to give you that update. That's where we are. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for praying. And that brings me to my next point. We have this beautiful missionary guide that Noel has designed and put together. It's got the missionary families in there with their names and with their email address. And what I would encourage you to do is to make sure you have one as a family or an individual and to go through them either every day or periodically where you can have a time that you just bring them before the Lord and their needs. Missionary letters are being sent out weekly. Brother Charles Henry does a great job of that. And so you should be getting those. If you're not getting them, please sign up. Charles Henry will be glad. We have a sign-up sheet in the foyer. I do see where some new people signed up. Now it's really good. But we want to be able to bring these people before the Lord. Just looking here at even the Gilberts. They're missionaries of the week this week, and they just got to Greenland. And God has opened that door up for them to go to, Denmark, because that's where they're going to start off learning the language and serving the Lord. So just things like that we just want everybody to be connected with these dear missionary families, and I hope you will get one of those. So again, our theme this year is Standing in Awe of the Great Commission. That is the theme of our conference. And so may the Lord have His will and way in the coming days. And you know what? The Lord could just even call some families out this year to go to some unknown place in the world, at least to us, where somebody's waiting on the gospel. Wouldn't that be awesome? It sure would. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do want to thank You and praise You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness to our church. We thank You, Lord, for how You have given, allowed us to give. And so You have provided it and You have used us and given through us. Lord, because it all belongs to You. So, Lord, as You have increased our faith, Lord, as You have increased our amounts, we give You the praise. We give You the honor. And we, again, just want to stand in awe of the missionaries that are going out all over the world, preaching the gospel and seeing them saved and born again. Lord, we stand in awe that You're wanting to do more in and through this local church. So I'm praying, God, even now in the coming weeks, that You will lay specifically upon our hearts. Lord, lay it upon my heart. Work in Joanna and me in our life and help us to, Lord, take a step of faith and to trust You to provide as You have faithfully done. And I pray for every other family and every other person here that they would truly consider what You would have them give for the sake of the gospel, for the glory of God, and so that people can be reached, so messengers can go. Would You help us in that, Lord? And God, we want to praise You for these families that we've been able to take on. Thank You for the increases that we've been able to give the existing missionaries. And so, Lord, we just pray for each of them tonight that You would encourage them. Several of them have just landed on the ground. Just in the past month, I think of the Jobway family. I think of the Murdoch family. I do think of the Gilberts and, Lord, who are just kind of stuck in the States due to COVID. But, God, You've opened the door back up for these countries, and now they're there. And we pray for them that You would encourage them tonight and help them to press forward and help us as a church to love them and do everything we can to hold them up before the throne of grace. So, Lord, thank You again. We love You and honor You, and we commit this business meeting to You. We trust that You will help us as we vote on Daniel and Raquel Akuoko as they go to Ghana. I pray You'd give us unity and, Lord, just a like-minded spirit as we partner together with them in reaching Ghana. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.